Peter is the most rounded of the characters in the Gospel. And we see in him a mixture of strengths and weaknesses. And because of that, we can see ourselves in Peter. We too are a mixture of strengths and weaknesses. Even when he's getting it right, he seems to be getting it wrong. And even when he's getting it wrong, he's somehow strangely getting it right, and Jesus is able to make use of the best that he can do. And perhaps that seems the point about Peter, that the strengths and the weaknesses in him are so intertwined as they are in ourselves. And the reassurance is that God can use Peter despite the strengths and weaknesses being so intertwined. And let us pray that he can use us too. Let's have a look at some of the stories in the Gospels and see how strength and weakness are intertwined. There are several stories when Peter starts well, but fades. Take the story in Matthew's Gospel of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. They're in the boat, the disciples. There's a great storm. They're terrified. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And Peter calls out, "Tell me to come to you across the water." Jesus says, "Come." Peter begins to walk on the water. But he saw the strong wind, he became afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." It started well, but he lost it. And there's that momentous time about which we heard a poem just now, when Jesus was asking his disciples other people's opinions of him. But then Jesus wants to know what they think of him, whom they think he is. And only Peter has the insight and courage to speak up. "You are the Christ." But immediately, Jesus tells him to keep quiet about it. And he tells Peter and all the other disciples that he's going to have to suffer and to die. And that is too much for Peter. He remonstrates with Jesus. "Surely not," is Peter's response. And Jesus says to Peter, who has just uttered those marvelous words, "You are the Christ," Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." The man who shows special faith in Jesus immediately fails to see where it's all leading and is condemned. And as I read those words, my thoughts go to the parable of the sower. The seed on the edge of the path is sown where people have heard the word, but Satan comes and carries it away. If that can happen to Peter, it can happen to us. Through the gospel, Peter is one of Jesus' inner prayer group, one of the people that he takes away with him to pray at key moments. He's one of those who go up the mountain and see Jesus transfigured and shining in glory. But he's also one of those who Jesus takes with him in Gethsemane. They go with Jesus and they fall asleep. And most of all, there's Peter's betrayal. Jesus warns the disciples that they will all desert him. Peter remonstrates, "We will follow you, I will follow you." And by now he seems to have understood something. He realizes the cost. He says that he's ready to go to prison and to die for Jesus. But he follows at a safe distance, protesting that he doesn't really know Jesus, protesting that he's no follower. And in Acts we read how he does indeed eventually go to prison and death for Jesus. But that's later. And he has even more learning to do before that. And as I read about all this, I see Peter in myself. I'd like to follow Jesus. I'd like to be a Christian. But I recognize that my faith, like Peter, is often rather shallow. Reading these stories about Peter makes us all reflect on the shallowness of our roots. We're invited to become deeply rooted and grounded in Christ. But all too often our roots, like Peter, are shallow. And as I read these stories about Peter, I recognize the importance of endurance, the importance of seeing it through, not just starting well, but seeing it through to the end. And I recognize that, like Peter, I can often start well, but I don't always see it through to the end. And as I read these stories about Peter, I recognize that what I understand about myself is quite limited, as Peter's self-understanding was. For a long time he thought he would follow Jesus to the end, having no idea how shallow his faith was, no idea how soon he would fall away. And I pray that my self-knowledge will deepen, as Peter's did, in the end, painfully. As I read these stories, I reflect on how faithfulness and faithlessness are deeply intertwined. But I give thanks that Jesus is able to use what I can do, despite that, as he was able to use what Peter was able to do. We at least half understand that it's demanding to follow Jesus. But repeatedly we find that the roots of our faith are not very deep, not enough to sustain us. We find that we fall away when we should hold course. But Peter, thank God, learned from his repeated failures. That's the encouraging thing about Peter. And I hope and pray that we will learn too. And in saying this, I'm preaching to myself as much as to anyone else. But sometimes with Peter, things go the other way around. Sometimes he starts cautiously, rather skeptical, rather doubtful about what Jesus is asking him to do, but it all ends triumphantly, ends unexpectedly well. And that's true of the story that we heard as our gospel this evening. Jesus meets him, fishing at the lakeside. They've had a bad night fishing, and Jesus tells him to put down his nets on the other side. Peter protests. Jesus insists. Peter does it, and he gets a great shoal of fish. It's rather like the time when Jesus proposes to wash his disciples' feet. Peter protests. It's not right. Jesus insists. But then Peter says, not just my feet only, wash all of me. Peter initially thinks that Jesus is offering him worldly advice about how to fish. Peter knows how to fish. He doesn't need advice about that. Peter knows that servants wash their master's feet, not the other way around. And he doesn't immediately see that in these extraordinary situations, Jesus is offering him great spiritual riches. And in the same way, the Spirit guides us in practical situations. If we heed the guidance of the Spirit, we can find ourselves being offered unexpected riches and spiritual blessings. And that's true of this sacrament, this service of Holy Communion. Ordinary things like bread and wine can be the vehicle of great spiritual blessings. With Christ, all life becomes a sacrament. Once Peter had glimpsed the spiritual blessings on offer, he received them with open arms and overcoming all his doubts. And I pray that that will be true for me too and for you. So Peter, in whom the ups and downs of discipleship are so intertwined, becomes the rock on which the church is built. Matthew and John tell stories of that special commission of Peter in Matthew. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. In John, it's rather different. Simon Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, confused Peter, Peter in whom strengths and weaknesses are so intertwined, is called to be the rock on which the church is built and the shepherd who looks after the sheep. It's his faith that enables him to be a rock. His insight that Jesus is the Christ, which enables him to be the rock on which the church is built. But it's his love that enables him to be a shepherd. And the key testing question is Jesus' repeated question, do you love me? It's only because he loves Jesus that he's able to be a shepherd. This Peter leads the early church. Peter preaches the gospel at Pentecost. Peter preaches in Jesus' name. Peter is released from prison when he's arrested. Despite the ups and downs, despite the strengths and weaknesses, he eventually serves Christ faithfully and well. And that gives us all hope that despite our weak, faint-hearted, confused nature, despite our fitful discipleship, there's hope that we will follow Christ too. Hope that our faith will be enough for us too to be part of the rock on which the church is built. And hope that we too can be shepherds who can look after Jesus' flock. May it be so. Amen.